sponsorship panel discussion. We have three speakers who will briefly share on their experience. Our first speaker is Nikki. Our second speaker is Joyce. And our last speaker is Pauline, in that order.
Hi, everybody. I'm an addict. My name is Nikki. And I'm a little nervous, and I don't really have a problem talking. I just have a problem sometimes standing and talking. And but that's gonna pass real soon too, because I'm at home. And I'd like for you to turn to the person next to you, and I want you to say, "Girl, you look good.
Girl, you look good.
Girl, you look good.
Girl, you look good.
You look good. You look good. That's right. That's right. You look good. You look good." Y'all clean up real nice, real nice. And then the other part of that is being able to say thank you. Because when people gave me a compliment, it wasn't until the help of my sponsor and some outside help that I was able to say thank you after you gave me a compliment. I thought you would say, you know, "That's a nice blouse, and I tell you where I got it." Or, "That's nice hair, you know, because I wear hair, you know. That's nice hair, I tell you where I got it." You know, I just had no ability to say thank you because I really was self-conscious and insecure about your compliment. So I would try to, you know, push you back a little bit, you know, and say it real quick and try to be your friend real quick before I could just say thank you for the compliment. You know, and that would took practice, you know, a lot of practice. And so now I make a conscious effort when people give me a compliment to say, I breathe first and I say, "Thank you, thank you." Because it ain't nothing wrong with that. You know, I don't have to explain myself, you know. You can't hear? Well, I'm not the IT person. And that's different because I would have tried to fix it. You know, even though I ain't the technical person, I'd have got out some pliers or screwdrivers or something, and I'd have fixed it. I'd have broke it, but I'd have fixed it, you know, because I'm going to be Miss What's-Her-Name. I'm going to fix it. And she's dead, thank God, for our Narcotics Anonymous, Miss What's-Her-Name. I'd make up an answer, whether it was the truth or not, but I refuse to let you know that I didn't know the answer, you know. And look at you like, "Oh, you don't believe me?" You know, and so when I came in here, Miss What's-Her-Name, she slowly died, and I'm glad. And I'm real glad to be here, and y'all do look good. And you're welcome.
Thank you.
Y'all do look good. And when I came in here in September of 90, you finish?
Oh, thank you very much.
So when I came in here in September of 1990, I came in with a temporary sponsor from treatment. I went to treatment in Hope House, and my temporary sponsor, you know, one who I didn't know very much, she didn't look anything like me. I just knew that she was an addict, and she said she would help me until I found another sponsor. And so when I came in from Baltimore, an ex-school teacher, an ex-wife, an ex-daughter, an ex-friend, an ex-cousin, an ex-everything, I came in here a victim. This sister talking about crack, weed, and something. I don't know about all that. I just use whatever, you know. And so if they make it any harder than that, I'm an addict. I can't get no further than that, you know. So anything more than that is too hard, you know. And so when I came in and my temporary sponsor took me to the halfway house, I had to get another sponsor. And so I said, "Well, I don't really believe in none of this. You know, I just like the fact that y'all gave out some key tags after so much time, and y'all clapped for me, because ain't nobody clapped for me in a long time. And I thought I was getting the Academy Award or something." because I came in with things that used to sit up, was laying down, and braids was more out than in. My face was all broke down and broke up, you know, and I look bad. And 30 days wasn't enough to clean all that up, you know. So they said, you need some more help, go to Halfway House, and I went. They said, you need another sponsor. So I said, well, I'm going to try something like you do on the street. I'm going to tell this girl something, and I'm going to see if it gets back to me, like the telephone game. So I'm going to tell her something, and then I'm going to wait. And I waited, and I waited, and I waited. I said, damn, she ain't going to tell it. So I still wasn't ready to ask her to be my sponsor. I just said, well, will you work in the book with me? Because I ain't really know in the blue book. I said, will you work in the book with me? And she said, you know, and she could kind of tell that I was really asking her to be my sponsor, but she wasn't filling in no sentences for me either. You know, and so I said, you know, and I would go over our house once a week, and we would work through, you know, step guide, and well, it wasn't a step guide then, but we worked through the book, and we would talk about, and she would tell her about, you know, she would tell about her, and so eventually I just said, will you be my sponsor? And she said, yeah, you know, and it was like the load was lifted. And so right after I asked her, she said, well, there's some things you got to do. I said, oh, here we go. Now, they didn't ask me to admit that I'm powerless. I got to accept it. I've been to treatment on the grounds of a crazy hospital. I'm in a halfway house that looked like the Addams Family house. I done had to ask this woman who I don't know to help me. I got to hug people I don't know and don't really care about to hug me. I got to go to meetings, and now I got some other stuff to do for her. And she said, I just want you to call me. I was like, oh. That's it? She said, I want you to call me on a regular basis, and if I'm there and I answer the phone, I will. If not, talk to my answering machine. I was like, oh, okay, and go to meetings in 90 days, you know, and read this. And she gave me some things to do, and I did them, you know. And I did them because I was dying on the inside, and when I got there, I was just beat up and broke down. And in the halfway house, I was the only child, you know, and I came in with all this stuff I ain't think I was going to do. I ain't know nothing about no rules and regulations. Not that my parents didn't try to give them to me, but if they said left, I went to the right. You know, I came in here not believing in God. I said I was an atheist. I can't even spell atheist. You know, I just was going to be whatever y'all said the opposite. I just wasn't going to do it. You know, I just refused. A rebel without a cause all the time, you know, and so, you know, so after our talking and stuff, you know, she shared with, you know, some things about herself, and I realized we were more alike than different. And we went to a lot of the same meetings together and everything. And then when I was thinking about doing this meeting, I remembered the one thing that Joyce did for me was she extended her hand to me. And all my family was in Baltimore. And I came out here and abused wife, but I had abused him too. I ain't talk about that for a couple years. I got a few licks in there. And I told y'all how he beat me. I ain't tell y'all how I beat him back. And, you know, because he was a big dude in the beginning. Crack will wear you down, you know. And I saw him duck. I said, oh, hell, it's on now, you know. And so all my family was in Baltimore, and I, you know, and I was still on kind of restriction at the halfway house. And she would ask me, I'm going home. You know, she lived in Landover. And she said, I'm going to my family house for the weekend. You want to go? And when I thought about doing this meeting, I thought about how she extended herself. And I said, yes. It was as simple as saying yes. Sponsorship is about saying yes. Even when you don't want to say yes. It's about showing up when you don't want to show up. It's about not knowing anything about Landover, not knowing anything about her family, but knowing that because of my situation in Baltimore, I couldn't go home. So when she said, come for Thanksgiving dinner, I said, yes. When she said, go with me to the mall, I said, yes. And when I think about some of the women that are not around, it's because they said no. Through whatever reason, through whatever situation, they said no. And I stand here almost 18 years because I said yes. And her family became my family. You know, being the only child, I wasn't used to that bickering between sisters and stuff. They would fight, throw stuff across the table. I didn't know what the hell was going on. And then at the end, they'd be like, I love you. I said, what kind of dysfunction is this? And they meant that they loved each other. I didn't know, thank you. I didn't know that you could fight and have a disagreement with a person and still love them. I thought once she was mad at me, it was you were mad forever. And being the only child, I ain't had no whole lot of practice. Who was I fighting with?
Yeah.
But my imaginary teacup friends. And I always won that fight, you know. And so as she invited me into her life and took me to my first dance over D.C. And with the hugging, I ain't still want to hug, you know. So she said, your first service position is a greeter. I say, what? She said, I want you to stand at the door and say, we glad you are here. I said, no, I'm not. She said, yes, you are. I said, no, I'm not. And my sponsor is 4'11". I'm almost 6 feet tall. And I said, I'm not glad that they here and that I'm here. And she said, well, you're going to do it anyway. And I did it, you know. And I stood there and I said, I'm glad you're here. I'm glad you're here. I'm glad you're here. And they say, fake it till you make it. I said, all right. And then some of y'all came up there with them big breastesses like Aunt Mabel or somebody. We glad you here. They just wouldn't let me go. I say, let me go. That was 6 months of we glad you here. So next she said, your next service position, you know that she didn't ask me anything. When I came, it wasn't a whole lot of asking, you know. And she said, the next job is the coffee maker. What now? You know, and she said, because when people, because I ain't really want to talk to nobody. I kept my arms folded. I was sort of in the back. I tried to sit in the back. You know, being almost 6 feet tall, how I thought I was going to hide, I don't know, but I gave it my best shot, you know. And she said, you going to make coffee because people chat around the coffee pot, you know, and be cleaning up and stuff. And they be, how you doing? She say, practice that. How you doing? You know, wipe up a little bit. And then the next thing, the conversation would get long and long. And she say, people get to know you. And they start saying, hi, Nikki, how you doing? You know, and I'd be, hi, you know. You know, and so eventually I found myself excited to go to meetings. You know, excited. Excited. You know, after going through some things, it's so funny because my first convention, I guess it was my first year clean, I came to the convention down here, and it was so funny, the guy I was dating, you know, because I fell in love early in recovery. I loved it him more than I loved it myself.
Yeah.
And y'all know that?
Yeah.
All right. And I came down here, and his ex-girlfriend was at the convention, right? And I had to have him. And so I told my sponsor, I say, uh-oh. I say, she here. And she said, so are you. You here for a meeting. You ain't here for all that other stuff. Stay focused. I said, oh, all right. That girl wasn't paying me a bit of attention and a man in the moon. But I was just so caught up in my own stuff and the fact that I wasn't sure if I was supposed to be with him or not, or be with me or be with anybody. I ain't know whether to go crazy, turn around, or sit down, you know. And so she said, you here for a meeting, for the convention. That's first things first. You know, this is not a date. You know, y'all are not here to kindle your romance. And I said, oh, all right. You know, and so that was like the first time that I really found myself in a situation where I didn't know what to do. And the first thing that I did was tell her I really didn't know what to do, you know. And she helped center me and balance me. And so through that relationship, our relationship became tried. Because at the time, you know, she was a protector. She didn't want me hurt. You know, and as the relationship was crumbling, she wanted to coddle me and save me. And so what happened was I pushed her away. I damn sure wasn't going to push him away, right, because I thought I needed him more than anything. Because I thought I needed him more than I needed myself, You know, if I waited to see if he was happy, to see if I was happy, to see if he was sad, if I was sad, I had no emotion of my own. I was a chameleon, you know. And so our relationship suffered to the point where when she tried to give me some suggestions and I felt like she was, like, smothering me, I invited her outside to fight. She 4'11". I'm yelling at her through the peephole, you know, and she laughing at me on the other side of the door. Bring it out here. I'm on Main Street in Law. Get out here. I'm not a fighter, you know, but it was just the fact that I wanted to feel rebellious, you know, and here you were telling me something for my good. And what we learned in that was that sponsorship, she's not a marriage counselor, a relationship counselor. She was here to guide me through the 12 steps of recovery in the tradition. You know, and all she could do was offer suggestions. And if I chose not to take them, then that was on me. But then I couldn't come around, and again, I could come around and say, you know, I should have listened, or, you know, you were right, or this or that and the other. But the main thing is I needed to learn, you know. And so we both learned through that experience. And so what happened was we grew up, you know, together in recovery. And so then came the chance for me to sponsor people, you know, and I really wasn't sure. I mean, I'm still not. I question myself sometimes if am I a good sponsor, you know, because a lot of the women that I sponsor, when I suggest they go to women's meetings, they don't want to go, you know, or even when, you know, I suggest we come to the sponsorship meeting, that's just not something they're interested in, you know. So I'm thinking, what is it I can do, you know, what can I do to help change them or help inform them? And I can't do nothing but show up. If I go and you want to go, it's at 7:00. Because that's where I got my help. You know, it was in the women's meetings. And so if they want to come, that's cool. I'll be there. You know, if you need a ride, I'll pick you up. But I can't carry you there. And that was something that I had to learn, you know. And then in sponsoring people, what I also learned was to laugh. You know, to laugh. Laugh at them. Laugh at me. Because we're crazy. And if I don't laugh at me, how am I going to help you laugh at you? Right? Because I know my God is on a daily basis upstairs looking down at me and say, that's a silly thing down there. She's silly, you know. But I also know that the God of my understanding loves me no matter what. You know, my sponsor taught me how to pray, how to reach out to you people, how to laugh, how to stand up for myself, how to say no. No is a complete sentence for anybody that did not know it. And it doesn't matter if you don't like me when I say no. It doesn't matter. Because I have to say what I need to say for me. And that doesn't mean that I need to chop you down in the process. I just need to take care of me. You know, it was a lady here, and she just made me cry when I saw her. I said she made me cry. I cried when I saw her because at one time, she was the type of person that I saw that I just wanted to tell my whole soul to, you know. And another thing I learned here is that, you know, you can talk to your sponsor, but you can talk to a lot of different people to get your help, right? And so what I learned from this lady was I was so busy trying for to be the better person and the big person in a real bad situation, and I didn't know how to remove myself. And in the process, I felt a lot of pain. And trying to be Miss What's-Her-Name and all those things, it's a lot of damn hard work. That's a lot of hard work. So in the process of not knowing how to back up, God helped me back up. And I heard a voice say, just don't pick up the phone. Just don't go to that place. You can do it different. And when I did it different and I shared with my sponsor the pain, it got better. You know, it got better. My life is so much better because I have a sponsor. My life is better because I am a sponsor. My life is even better when the women I sponsor people because they leaving me the hell alone. Y'all don't want to act like that's true? Because when they busy, they ain't calling me. And when I'm busy, I ain't calling her. You know, about every little thing, you know. And not that you can't, but it does work, you know. I'm just grateful. You know, that you all are here, that I'm here, and I don't want to leave. I never thought that sharing with another woman would make me feel so much like a woman. So with all that, I'll give you my sponsor. Thanks for letting me play.
I'm Joyce, and I'm an addict.
Hey, Joyce.
And I'm the 4'11" person that she wanted to beat up. You know, and on that day that she wanted to beat me up, you know, it was so funny because, you know, can't you imagine, you know, us out there just rumbling in the middle of the street, you know. You know, and me helping her and her thinking she helping me, but we not helping each other. We just making a scene. You know, thank God for you females, you know, because without you, you know, we wouldn't have each other. You know, self-esteem is something that we work real hard around here today to get, you know, because I remember when I came around here, I was the ugly duckling, you know, of all the females that I thought that I supposed to have loved because, you know, my hair was short. You know, I was black. You know, I didn't think worthy of myself, so I surely didn't think worthy of you. You know, and I just wanted people to be in my life. You know, I wasn't a follower, but I kind of like got close to you so I could just be your friend. You know, I was the person that if you needed me, I would be there. And what I'm saying is, I was a fighter. You know, if your boyfriend messed with you, and I need to come help you, I will whoop his ass. You know, if you have problems with other women and you would come get me, I'll straighten it for you. Now you can imagine, if you don't think little people can protect themselves, don't step to one. And I'm just here to say we're very feisty women, but we give a lot of love. You know, and what this program has taught me is to love myself. You know, it comes a time when you find out how surrendering, you know, to this program, you know what I mean, or going back out, you know. And when I sponsor girls, you know, or women, you know, it wasn't given to me real easy. You know, I was told to sit down and listen. And when you wanted to ask me a question, they would point at me, you know what I mean, and tell me that when I need a question, I would ask you, you know, because I was a woman that would come around and would sit in the back and be in the back talking and not paying attention to the message of recovery. You know, I was a woman, if you would lean to the side and talk to your friend, I would think that you was talking about me. And what I would do is I would watch you and stay in the meeting the whole time. And when the meeting was over, I would be outside and say, I know you was talking about me in that meeting. You know, that's how my self-esteem was. And when you would come outside, I'd be ready to fight you. You know what I'm saying? Not having a clue. You know what I mean? That was sick. You know, and I needed some help. You know, so I met a little woman that was short like me. You know, because not only did I would give my sponsees help, that I need help myself. You know, and I met this little woman that was my size, but she was a whole different type of my size. You know, I wanted somebody not only to guide me, but to show me how to love myself. You know, and when I would go through things, I would tell her what I wanted her to know. And when she'd give me the information, I would buck and I wouldn't listen. So what I would do is I would bump my head all the time. You know, and I remember when my mother passed away, you know, I thought that was going to be the day that I would pick up a drug. You know, that was my mother, my sister, and my best friend. You know, and then she came to me, and she held me, and she loved me, you know, and told me that it was going to be okay. You know, and I also had other sponsees in my life. For one, when you have sponsees, you know, you're going to have all different type of sponsees. You're going to have the ones that listen, the ones that don't listen, the ones that know it all, and the ones that don't have a clue. And I have one sponsee that don't listen, very highly educated, right? She does her step work in a computer. You know, when I tell her to do something, she bucks. You know, then I have a spiritual sponsee that just, you know, puts me in a calm and a lax condition when I don't have a clue. You know, when they talk about having your spirits connected with the God of my understanding, and most of the time I do need somebody like that, and God put her in my life. But what I found out, sometimes they just not so spiritually. She can act the fool just like me. You know, so what happens is God put people in your life that's just like you in different ways, different forms, and different fashions, you know, and that's what we need, you know. So, you know, it's not much more that I can say is I'm grateful to Narcotics Anonymous. You know, I'm grateful that it's all types of women in this program that shows you guidance, love, and early direction, you know. And if somebody tell you that they have a problem with you, what they need to look at is find out if they got a problem with they self. You know, because people that say they don't like you, they don't like they self. You know. Most of the time, you know, when we having objections of what you wear, what you have on, what you look like, what you don't look like, you know what I mean? It's a certain thing of the pointer and the thumb. You know, you should take that thing and flip it back at yourself and take a look like, what's going on with you? You know, because it's not all about the makeup, you know. Because I came in here 100 pounds soaking wet. You know what I mean? It's not all about the makeup. It's not all about the ass. It's not always about the breath. It's what's going on up in your head. You know what I mean? What are you doing? You know what I'm saying? You know, one day at a time, one step at a time, what are you doing to protect your recovery? You know what I'm saying? Your recovery is your responsibility. It ain't your sponsor's responsibility. It's your responsibility. So if you don't go to meetings, you ain't going to get nothing. You know what I'm saying? If you don't work a program, the program ain't going to work you. You know what I'm saying? If you don't want to be here, go out there and reuse again and come back, you know what I'm saying, so that you can see what you need to do to make this thing happen. You know, Narcotics Anonymous, you know, has information to put you right on track. You know what I'm saying? So all I'm saying is, if they tell you do your step work, do your step work. You know what I'm saying? They tell you just call them, call them. You know what I mean? It's just that simple, you know. Sponsees can help you. If you think you up here, what's going to happen one day, you're going to fall down. You're going to need your sponsee. You know what I'm saying? Because sometimes your sponsor might not be available for you. You know, and that's what I do. I use my girls. But that's enough out of me. Who I'm going to introduce now is my sponsor. You know, my sponsor made me cry, and that's real hard to do. You know what I mean? She told me one time when I was trying to tell my sponsee what to do, she told me, when it comes to relationship, you need to mind your business. You know? And I ain't like that. Don't nobody tell me what to do. Mind my business? Their business is my business. You know, and she say it's not. You know, you're not their mother. You know, you're not their babysitter. You know what I mean? You need to do what you need to do. You know, give them the direction of the 12 steps of the program. You know what I'm saying? And that's all you do. Be there and be available. You know, and with that, I'll give you Pauline.
I'm Pauline, and I'm an addict.
Hey, Pauline.
Hello. How's the microphone? You guys here in the back? Jesus. All right. Let's try that again. Can you hear in the back?
No.
No. How's that? A little better? Okay. Thanks. Well, no wonder you didn't respond, because you couldn't hear. I got it now. Anyway, I am an addict. My home group is in Greenbelt, Maryland on Monday night. It works how and why. It's a step and tradition meeting. Come visit us anytime. We're very structured, very warm, and I think we actually have pretty good coffee, too. this is an interesting dynamic here, because we're all very different. I was raised by my first couple steps I didn't do in writing, because in 1982 we didn't have that kind of literature, and you know, so I used whatever was available with my sponsor's guidance. And you know, I was a person, I came in here after doing a 3-year run smoking greens. That's what we call them in Glen Burnie, greens. whatever else you call them. You know, it's territorial, I suppose. But it took me 18 months to read and comprehend. I was not able, literally, you know, able to really do much intellectually. But my sponsor still got me on board. You know, we went over the first step. I had to read it every day, same as you guys probably have to do, read it every day for 30 days. And then, you know, my second step, first of all, my first sponsor, and I've had four in 25 years, so that's pretty small, you know. It's a chore to get intimate with somebody. Why would I want to abandon that relationship when something goes, you know, when something feels bad? I love it. My sponsor says, and I hear a lot of other people say, if your sponsor hasn't pissed you off, you ain't getting with the right one. So, and my sponsors have all hurt my feelings in one way, shape, or form. But anyway, my first sponsor, I was just completely unable to function. You know, I could go to work, but barely perform. I had a lot of brain damage to recover from. And I used to have to call my sponsor, not for step work, honeys, but should I have peanut butter or bologna today? I really can't make a decision. You know, those were the kind of challenges that I had right from the beginning. And I relapsed for the first 4 months that I was here. And finally, I can just tell you that I made a decision to give it a try for 90 days, because that's what was offered, right? 90 days, or we'll refund your misery with interest. So I decided to try that. And by the time I hit the 60-day mark, I was like, oh, my God, what was I waiting for? Like, I was thinking something exciting was going to happen out there, but we know the definition of insanity. And instead, by the time I hit 60 days clean, I had money. My skin had cleared up a little. You know, I was standing a teeny bit straight, teeny bit. You know, it took a long time not to notice your shoes. But anyway, you know, I was like, oh my God, this is great. I'm staying, and you guys can't get rid of me now. I'm just here. So my sponsor, you know, she guided me through the early steps, and when I'd get stuck on something like the concept of step two, she would always say, why don't you go to a meeting and interview people? You know, I don't have all the answers, just go. And I would do that, and I would ask, you know, what was it like for you? And so, by doing that, I was able to incorporate other people's ideas. You know, take what you need and leave the rest. Just borrow what works for you, and slowly began to go through. And when I got to my fourth step, I was, I didn't know I was ready. I really didn't, because like I said, I was 6 months clean, and I could still not speak in complete sentences or complete paragraphs. I think I had graduated to a complete sentence, but not complete, you know, thorough thought patterns yet. But she invited me over her house for dinner one night, and I showed up, and she handed me a steno pad and a pen and the page 64 out of the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous, because that's what was available. And she said, I want you to go over in this room and write anger, fear, and resentments. Make those lists, and I'll feed you when you're done. And I have to tell you, for a person that was in the shape that I was in, you know, barely able to finish a thought, this was good. You know, couple little lists, the person, what happened, how it made me feel, you know. excuse me, and the behavior that ensued, because really, it's one thing to be able to identify motives. I think the fifth step is really the place where that comes to light. For me, the fourth step a lot of times is just what's the behavior? What are you sick of about yourself? And then in the fifth step, she's able to help me connect, you know, the motive behind the behavior. And to get a list of shortcomings to take, you know, into my sixth and seventh steps. So When I had 9 months clean, I was on the sixth step, and my sponsor delivered a baby, and she became completely unavailable. And I was still pretty needy with 9 months clean. So I went around looking for a sponsor for the next 3 months, and my sponsor showed up to my one-year anniversary. I was completely flattered by that, because I was all immersed in service work, because I could sell tickets and T-shirts like nobody's business, you know. I was good at that kind of thing. I just don't ask me to, you know, quote anything. I forgot my middle name by then, you know. But a lady showed up there, and her card so impressed my heart that I thought, oh, this is who I really need to be with. And so I asked, Jackie delivered the baby. I asked Shelley to be my sponsor, and we had a relationship for the next 11 years. Then, you know, she got married, and her relationship appeared to take precedence, and I still needed to do step work. So I had done a four-step with Jackie. Then I did a four-step with Shelley and a fifth step. And for that 11 years, she helped me tremendously. I have to tell you, I had graduated from the point where I needed to know, you know, for I needed help with bologna or peanut butter. But I had other dilemmas going on, you know, the relationship thing, how to act. And I have to tell you this, my first sponsor, when I went to her, some guy asked me to go bowling. You know, Where I come from, bowling was not for faintly hip, terminally cool chicks, you know. It was, it just didn't strike me as something I was really interested in. And I had all these walls up. I was very guarded and didn't wear any makeup, no jewelry. Of course, I was pretty poor, too, so that really helped. And I was kind of like the bib overall chick, you know. And people... And you could tell that there was something going on with me. I wasn't standoffish. I just didn't know what to say. And I still have some brain damage. Oh, bowling, thank you. So I take that to Jackie and I say, okay, it looks like this guy is asking me on a date. What do I do? And she says, well, go out with him. It's fine. And I said, oh, you mean I don't, that wait for a year thing doesn't apply? And she said, Pauline, people make up all kinds of things. She said, here's what you do. You go out with everybody you want. Keep your legs crossed for 60 days, because by the time 60 days rolls around, you'll have an idea whether you like them or not. And you won't have that complication of already having sex with them and trying to pull back from that. And so, right. You know, and so, that's the tenet that I follow. That's what was shared with me, and it has worked ever since. Because if I'm not emotionally prepared for the weight that having intercourse brings with it, and I don't have the tools to cope, what am I going to do? I'm going to be closer to getting high than I was before the relationship, because I'm going to want to change the way I feel. Or, even worse, maybe I won't get high and I'll find somebody else to replace, I'll look for another guy. And the cycle goes on. You know, it's about chasing instant gratification, trying to change the way I feel. So that advice was probably one of the best things that I was given, and I passed that on. I never tell people don't date. I never tell them don't get involved. Now, and I'll say on the other side, I'm not the kind of sponsor that doesn't help you make decisions. Forcefully, even. With force, yes. You know, I have no problem pulling that arm back. Sometimes I see things differently. But that's the thing I love about sponsorship. I have a sponsor who gives me an objective view. That's the whole thing. Like, if Joyce was my sponsor, she'd be just as good at it. You know, I happen to sponsor her, But when I take my stuff to her, she gives me the same objectivity. That's what I need. I don't need somebody to go to shopping with. I mean, that may be a byproduct. But, you know, I have... What happened? Okay. Not easily intimidated by hardware, but that was really weird. Anyway, it's the pitch. It really I have a thing with high pitches. It really hurts my ears. Anyway, so you know, my first sponsor gave me the ground rule: keep your legs crossed. Pretty simple to follow. Not easy, but simple. You know, and especially now, because I'm like 40-something, you know. I'm hot, I'm ready, you know. But... Oh, but anyway, I have to behave myself. So going through the steps with my sponsor has enabled them, you know, so 11 years with Shelley. I had a sponsor who was my original grand sponsor for a couple years. I did a fourth and fifth step with her, too. And then, she was relatively unavailable for reasons of her career choice. And it was at this convention 11 years ago that my sponsor and her husband shared a relationship meeting, and I said, I went up to her after the meeting, and it was really kind of humbling because I have more clean time than my sponsor. And I want to invite you to entertain that possibility.
That's right.
Entertain the possibility. There's nowhere in any of our literature that says your sponsor needs to have more clean time, because let me say this about that. It's quality, not quantity. Yeah. So my sponsor, I just said, I really love the way that you deal with your relationships, and that's the area that I have the most problems with. I wonder if you'll help me. And she said, yes. And we went to work. And we've done a lot of work in that time. Now, I'm going to, talk about my step work a little bit and how I sponsor people, and I know that we're, probably a little bit within time. I have worked, when the Narcotics Anonymous Step Working Guide came out, I was going through the cycle and I was on step 6. So that's where I started. So I've done 6, 7, 8, and 9. Haven't done 10, haven't done 11, haven't done 12 in the book. I'm working on 12 in the book now, which is funny because, at least one of my sponsees has done the 12th step out of that book. With me, I just haven't. And then I go back to step 1 and step 4 in that book as my sponsor assigns me different parts to work on, depending on where I am. And when I get someone to sponsor who's already been with somebody, like Joyce had already done step work. And when I got her, I think she was in step 6 or 7. Now, I just don't understand this thing about go back to step 1. I just don't get that. I think it's torture. So we picked up at step 6, and same with Stephanie and a couple other girls. I got them in the middle of their work, and we go from there. Whatever. I don't get that. I just don't go with that. So we picked up at step 6, and we move forward. Now, because I was so unable to function at an intellectual level when I was new, and sometimes even now, people I sponsor all have different needs. And I'm not going to demand that someone I sponsor write their fourth step out of the flat book. Sometimes I just think that's not appropriate. So I keep a collection of the old yellow IP, working the 4-step in Narcotics Anonymous. I keep a couple of those. You know, I have several other step guides that I refer to. And depending on where the person is, I would ask them, because really the net result is this. They write, they get their history down on paper, it gives us a format from which we can look at, extrapolate the patterns and characteristics in the fifth step to take into step six. So I like the old literature. Sometimes it's just the right thing to do. You know, Joyce and I work out of a couple of different books, you know, because we have other needs. And that's all good. You know, it's tools. It's about using the tools. So I'm grateful to have a collection of things. I do love the flat book. I hate it and love it at the same time. You know, in the fourth step in relationships, very first question asks, you know, what conflicts in your personality prevent you from having long-term friendships and relationships? My sponsor, you know, assigned that to me, relationship section. I look at that, I read this question, I'm clueless, right? I'm 20 years clean, I'm clueless. Like, how do I answer this question? So I go to my home group, and I'm one of those people that keeps it real. I tell you exactly. And I say, I got this question, I have no idea how to answer it. And someone came up to me after the meeting and gave me a clue. And they said, well, you know, what came up for me is, do I want to be happy or do I want to be right? And there's a conflict in my personality. And so the work, you know, then the pen flowed easily. So, you know, that's what I do. I have a couple other things that I'd like to... a couple of opinions I'd like to share with you. One is, please don't call the sponsorship book a sponsorship guide. It is not a guide. It is a collection of experience. So if you're a secretary or chairperson of a meeting and you talk about, you know, the literature that we have on sale, please refer to it as a sponsorship book. Now, I wish they had subtitled it, you know, sponsorship experience, whatever. But it's not a guide, so try not to misinform people. And the other thing that really peeves me, this does, is after the meeting, people say, when they're giving out the key tags, they say, everybody with a year clean for purposes of sponsorship, raise your hand. I hate that. I don't hate it. I think it's misinforming, again, because look at this. After the meeting, you're giving out the key tags, and you say, and to show that the program works, and for purposes of sponsorship, everyone who's worked through step six raised their hand. Because then you have come to terms with the God of your understanding. You've come to terms with powerlessness. You've gained hope. You got a God of your understanding, or not, whatever. You've written about your defects of character. You shared them with someone else. You have a sense of who you are and your motives. What makes you tick that you can share with someone else while helping them steer their vessel? So this stuff about, because let me tell you, I know people with 12 years that stay in the parking lot. They have never worked a four-step. I would not want them to sponsor me. I just, you know, that's like spreading the disease, not sharing recovery. Holy cow. So anyway, those are my two little pet peeves, and since I have the microphone, I'm going for it. Now comes for the, now this is a little bit different for everybody who's, you know, you're used to hearing the speaker, and then we close the meeting and go on our way. This is a panel discussion. What the program committee has done is come up with, they have already done, okay, you want to read? Okay, anyway, I'm here, I'm just going, on a roll. Anyway, they've come up with some questions in advance and they would like the three speakers to share briefly their experience on these questions. So we were going to open it up originally for questions, but Nikki's going to start, and then we're going to, you know, maybe share. And I want to say something else. We are very different, our style. Like, Joyce has her sponsees over to her house regularly.
Once a month,
although I had to get invited by Myra because she wouldn't have me over. And I've never done that. It's just not how I was raised here. So everybody has a different way of carrying the message. I'm a little more one-on-one, and that it all works. It all works. It's great, and thank you for being here.
Yay. Real quick, just so that I'm doing what I was asked to do, we want to thank everybody for sharing. Again, it is now time for the panel discussion portion of the meeting, and the speakers will answer questions on their experience, strength, and hope in being a sponsor and a sponsee. And the first person will be Nikki. She's going to pull one of the questions from, well, she's already pulled it, and she's going to read it and answer it, okay?
The question that I got is, can I really fire my sponsor, sponsee? And can I really fire my sponsor and sponsee? And can you guys hear me?
Yes.
This is amazing that I would get this question because this situation happened and it was really, really painful. A young lady had a sponsor who she had lost a relationship with. And so she asked me to sponsor her. And she hadn't been with her former sponsor in quite some time. And so it didn't occur to me that she should talk to this woman and say, are you still sponsoring me or whatever? Because the lady had stopped going to meetings and so forth, right? So the young lady said, will you sponsor me? I was like, sure. You know, I had known her for a while and it was fine. Well, honey, did you hear me say, well, honey? The other woman came back out of nowhere, like lightning. And she said, she grabbed this lady up and she said, I'm back and we're going to do this and we're going to do that. And I said, uh-oh. And so I told the girl, I said, you know what? You and I are all right no matter what. Whatever you choose to do is fine with me. You know, we will be friends no matter what. So whichever way you want to go, if you want to go back, you want to go forward, it doesn't matter. And so the young lady made the decision that she said, no, I want you to sponsor me. Right? And I said, okay. So the other woman who I had been friends with for years, right, got angry with me and said that I should have asked her permission whether or not I should sponsor this young lady. Now, all that said and done, whether she was right, wrong, or indifferent, the problem that I did for myself was that, first of all, I spoke to my sponsor about it, which was a good thing, right? But the problem that I caused for myself is that I didn't ask that young lady to go back to that woman and resolve that relationship, right? And that's the lesson, I think, for me. Now, however somebody else tells you, I don't know. But what the information came to me was that I don't know about firing because you didn't hire me. Are you not paying me a salary, benefits, insurance, dental? So you ain't hired me, right? The pay is real bad if you hired me. So I'm not going to use that word, right? But I can make a choice. I can make choices all day and all night, right? I have choices today. But again, the lesson that I learned, because I lost a real good friend, right? And the weird thing is she's friends with the young lady, but not me. Right? And, you know, all right, I took it to, you know, my sponsor, and I'm all right. Okay. But, again, the lesson I learned from this was that I need to close doors before I open other doors. And I like to use that in all my affairs. So that's my experience on this.
And this question is, how do I give my experience, my strength, and hope, and not advice when direction is what she needs? First of all, I want to let you know I'm a control freak, right? So when I tell you something, I want you to do what I tell you to do, and not what you want to do. But what happens is, when I give too much direction, I want to give you an example with Nikki. When she talked about the relationship she was in with the young man that I kind of like advised her not to get into the relationship with, and she said she went into his direction and didn't do what I asked her to do. And what happened was we lost a relationship. She didn't fire me, but she went out of my life. And by me not giving her experience, for one, just telling her that, you know, she needs to focus on recovery based on and not this man, that he wasn't her God, and he wasn't her sponsor, and that he would hurt her more than show a direction. That's not what she wanted to hear. And so when I told her to leave him and don't be with him, and I asked him outside and told him if he do anything to hurt it, I'll whoop her ass, she left me. So the important thing is give your sponsee the experience and what you've gone through with the relationship, the strength of what she need to do when she decide to do what she want to do and do her will and not God's will, and give her a hope that she stay here and don't go out and use based on the relationship she's in, then, you know, that's the information I need to give her. And not give her no other advice, because when you give advice that's not wanted, you're going to get what you get.
Okay, my question is, I'm having difficulty in getting outside of myself to trust people. How do I learn to trust people? How do I learn to trust God? You know, God has a sense of humor. This is so on target for me. I don't know how to steer someone else about getting outside of themselves except for through the steps. You know, the second step, and I love the second step, although the first time I skipped over it with the minimum of concern, just like it says in the basic text, and I had to come back because the beauty of the second step is there is no God in it. And I came in a person who was forced to go to church and shown something different. So, you know, it's a church over here. We all look good and sound good and appear to be on the up and up. And then we go home and cuss and hit each other. And, you know, it was just, it was very confusing for me. So I was grateful for the second step, because all I had to do was come to believe in what was working here. And from that, I did kind of what Nikki did. I gave people little bits and let them prove to me that they were worthy of my trust. Now, the part about God is still, it's not that I don't trust God now, it's that I don't think of God first. And that's really in my, you know, a shortcoming of my program. If there's a hole in my program, that would be it, is I don't think about what would God give me first. I think about how would I do it. Because I am, you know, I practically, not that I didn't grow up in a family and whatnot, but I did a lot of raising myself and making my own decisions, and that's just been my life. So I'm used to consulting myself first. And when I go the other route, To ask the universe, God, whatever I call it on that particular day, to give me direction, it usually works out really, really good. But mostly, it's about trusting. For me, it was about trusting the rooms as a whole. You know, the meetings as a whole. There's never been a meeting that I didn't go into feeling not so good and come out feeling a little bit better. Never happened yet. So, you know, a difficulty getting outside of myself. One thing, oh, and I'll share this experience with you because this had to do with my sponsor too. When I was about, I don't know, maybe about a year and a half clean, bib overalls, right? I told you, no makeup, no jewelry. I was very boyish. And I went to Towson to a meeting. On the other side of the track, so to speak. And a lady shared in the meeting something that I had already been through. And after the meeting, I approached her circle, her posse, And I wanted to, you know, I wanted to share with her, gosh, I'm sorry to hear your pain. I have some experience to share. And they wouldn't let me in their circle. You know, this is what we call, what do we call this? Sub what? Subgrouping. And there's nothing wrong with that. Sociologically, we're drawn to like-minded people. It's just going to be that way. But when we're in a meeting, we need to make a conscious effort to recognize the newcomer. And it's really not easy. You know, Joyce and I share the same home group as, and Stephanie used to be in our home group. And after the meeting, we like to bond. But that's not the place to do it. It's really not. What we need to do is focus on who said they were new and how can we help. So anyway, I go to, you know, I couldn't break into this posse. And I was devastated. That circle was tight, and they looked over their shoulder at me, and there I was different, and I left there in tears. Got home, called my sponsor before cell phones, of course, had to wait to get home. And she said to me in these words, Shelley said, pray for her. Her insecurities are such that she couldn't recognize that you had interest in her. Pray for her. You know, your heart was in the right place and you were wide open. And so that is really significant for me today. And it also, you know, I have to think about that when it comes to trusting people. I can't open my whole heart and give it to them. You know, it's piecemeal. So that's what I have to share. Thanks.
Why do I have to write? Can't we just talk about the steps? Oh, I ain't got nothing else to say then. Since y'all got it. No, I mean, I kind of want to say this a little bit. I have sponsored people that for whatever reason, were incapable of writing through whatever their circumstance. And so what I suggested that we do was to talk about it. To talk about what they would like to write about. You know, I even have offered people or suggested that they put it on tape, you know, because people have different situations, you know, disabilities or educational level or skills or whatever. And so I'm a kind of person, I'm an ex-school teacher and I taught kindergarten. I want Johnny to read and write and everything. So I'm going to come to you however I can. So it is suggested that if you have the ability to write, and the reason that I think it's a good thing is because a lot of times thoughts come out through the subconscious, and it has always worked for me to write it and then present it with my sponsor. But I will say this. When I used to think that when I gave my sponsor my step work, she was going to take out like a red ink pen and check for spelling and punctuation, and that she was going to read that fourth step like it was a novel. She was like, I am not reading all that. No, that was for you to write about, for us to talk about. I'm not reading this like a dissertation, you know, and I'm not going to check the spelling. And so, you know, that's one other thing. Don't, you know, for those people like me who procrastinated doing the step work because I needed the right mood, the right pen, the right notebook, the right song to be on the radio, you know, I needed all this preparation to write. And she said, I don't care if it's on a paper towel and a crayon. I want that step work. So, all that said and done, you ain't got to write it, but it's suggested that you do. Thanks for letting me see.
Talk about how God works. This question, it's hard to get together with my sponsor on a regular basis. How to say to her, I don't like that she's continually unavailable. First of all, I need to say, that's why we have once a month that I ask my girls to get together so that we can share our experience with each other so that when the sponsor is unavailable, they can get together with each other and discuss what's going on with them. But what I find out is, in recovery, sometimes us women have so many things we need to do that we're unavailable to get together to share what's going on with them. So what happens is when I ask you to get together and you don't show up, so when you miss out and don't get the information you need to get on the other side, whose fault is that? Okay? And what happens also is when you get in relationships or you lose your jobs or something happens in your family and you don't have the information to connect, whose fault is that? It's your fault. So when your sponsor or your sponsee call you and say, I need to talk to you, if she's not available or he's not available, you need to call somebody else that's in your group so that y'all can connect. Because it might be an opportunity that you're on the verge of going out of here, and you might go out of here. So it's important. If you're unavailable, use somebody else. That's what you have a foundation for. You know, your sponsor is not always going to be available for you. That's what your sponsee sisters are for. You know, that's what the other women in the network is for. Mm-hmm. Utilize them. You know, we all here to help one another. There's no little eyes or big U's. You know, nobody's better than the other. We as women do recover. So if we're going to stick together, you know, we got to use each other's information to stay together.
Now I think I feel insulted. You know, when I'm in school, I have to limit my phone time. So I actually set a kitchen timer because I love to talk and I love to listen. So sometimes I'll say I only have 10 minutes. It's really hard. Man, it's hard. All right, this question: should I stay in this relationship when it's not good for me? Wait a minute. Yeah. If you don't mind me staying in my relationship that's not good for me, I don't mind if you stay in that relationship that's not good for you. This is pretty interesting. I said earlier that I don't have a problem giving advice to women I sponsor, and I really don't, in limited capacity. I don't tell them who to love, where to work, and all that kind of thing. We had a situation Monday night where, you know, Joyce's boyfriend said it same. Oh. I can't talk about you? I can talk about her, good. And this is just how I handled Joyce's boyfriend was sharing about his step work. And he disclosed that he was sick and tired of being the same person. And there was an opportunity here for some growth in the relationship. And one of the issues that he has, you know, is a little bit of insecurity, which has affected them in the past. So the other guy that was having an anniversary asked Joyce to give him his medallion. And so she was very uncomfortable with it and was not in a position. It came to her like through a channel. She couldn't say to him, "Nah, Joe, I'm not really comfortable with that." So anyway, she's standing there with the medallion. So she gets up to go to the restroom. So I get up. She's like squirming, making all kind of faces, trying to. I don't read lips, you know. So she's trying to tell me what's going on. And so I get up and we go and have a sponsorship meeting in the bathroom, and Ernestine comes in, and you know, and I said to her, if you want to show him that you are about supporting him during his insecurities, don't, you know, pass the medallion to Ernestine, let her give it to him. That's my advice, and I meant that. That was advice. And she took it. And Ernestine presented Joe with his medallion. He was delighted after all. He said some really nice things about Ernestine. And I think that Dwight was probably pleased. But do I tell, you know, about the relationship? No. What I say is call me more often because we're going to really connect. You're either going to distance yourself from your sponsor because you don't want to hear what she has to say. And, you know, my job is not to tell you who to love. My job is to help you know yourself. My sponsor, who knows, she might even be in the room right now, she knows that I struggle, and I called Joyce just day before yesterday, wasn't it? And I read her this passage. I said, man, I am having these intense cravings to reconnect with my ex. And I want to tell you, the first step in Narcotics Anonymous is not about whatever the chemicals that the lady was trying to disclose. It's about the disease of addiction. I am sometimes addicted to relationships. I am addicted to empty well relationships. And that man still has intense pull for me. So I, instead of picking up the phone, because, you know, we say around here, if you don't pick it up, it can't get in you. So instead of picking up the phone, I grabbed one of my many books off the shelf, step books, went and got a pedicure, sat in that chair, and I cracked it open to a page that talked about being addicted to empty wells. Whoa. Snapped me right out of it. And I shared that with Joyce the next day. I was like, man, I just felt on the brink of having a relapse. So, you know, she didn't tell me, and my sponsor didn't tell me, stay away from that guy. They said, thank God you utilize your tools. And you know what? You deserve so much more. And your job with me, all of you collectively, us women particularly, is to nourish each other's spirit. The way that Nikki said, girl, you look good today. And Joyce said to me, you know, something about praying for me or something. I send you love and support that that I believe that I'm worth more than that. So this relationship thing, if he's not good for you, it'll come out in the wash. You know, and hope and pray that what you do is reach out to others rather than get high. Uh-huh. You know, over the feelings that are going to come up. And so I don't know, can't tell you about that. Woo, no thank you.